Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you've got your Bible with you, please open your Bible up to Psalm 33, verse 12. And everybody in this room should be able to quote this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, people he has chosen for his own inheritance. Church, this day has so many meanings to it. I mean, we all know about the 9/11, the observance of 9/11, and I'm going to talk about that a lot tonight. It's also Patriotic Day. I don't know if you knew that or not. Look on your calendar, it says it's Patriotic Day. I'm going to talk, you almost can't talk about 9/11 without talking about patriotism. Amen? And, you know, it's something, 9/11 always had a special meaning for me, not just because of what happened on the terrorist attacks, but I was actually a member of the 9/11 Air Wing. That's where I met Eleanor, at the Air Force Base, and that was the numbers of 9/11. So that number has always been special in my heart long before the things that took place 18 years ago. 18 years ago. We are now in a generation of young people who are only heard about this in legend. They never lived through it. They were too young to live through it. Many of them are not being taught about 9/11, about what took place in New York City. But so it's up to us to do that. I can tell you right now, my grandkids are going to know. You better know that for sure. I have some great friends, and among the top of the list is my buddy Dean and his lovely wife. Gave me a gift several years ago. It's called the Patriotic Bible. If you don't have one of these, I would urge you to get one of these, because this Bible takes the time to go through the scriptures. Interwoven throughout the entire Bible is every place the Bible influenced how we live this day, how our nation is founded, how the nation is the way it is today because of the Word of God, the people that were influenced by it. Not all founding fathers were Christians, and it's evident from some of their writings and teachings, but they had an influence of Jehovah in their life. And because, you know, we think about the founding fathers, but we forget that was 1776 forward. There was a whole lot of history here from 1492 when Columbus came here till 1776. There were a lot of people that were influenced by the Bible, that influenced people, that influenced our founding fathers, that prayed for them, stood for them, believed for them. Amen? We forget about that. These folks just didn't wake up and say, you know, okay, we're Christians, we believe in the Lord. No. There were generations that believed that. There were generations that believed it. And they called on the Lord just almost constantly. And that's what this Bible is so cool, because as you go through it, it talks about the Second Amendment. It talks about it, education in schools. It talks about all kinds of things. But one of the things Brother Dean and Debbie wrote in the front of this thing, I'll give it to you. I know I got new glasses. And I got new glasses, so I'm going to get the chance to read this, because this Bible's got some contrast that I can't see. It says, our patriotic elder, Denny Vish Jr., from Dean and Debbie Osmond. It was on February 20th, 2013, and it said, see the definition, the first definition on page 363. So I'm going to read you the definition of patriotism. How's that sound? See if you can follow along with us and listen how things have changed a little bit. I can't look up. These are good for close-up, but they're not good for long distance. If Jesus cracks the sky, I'm going to have to take these off and say, okay, I can see you, Lord. Okay. All right. This is Noah Webster's, an American Dictionary of the English Language from 1828. Okay? Patriotism, a love for one's country. The passion which aims to serve one's country, either in defending the country, defending it from invasion, or protecting its rights and maintaining its laws and institutions in vigor and purity. Patriotism is the characteristic of a good citizen. The noblest passion that animates a man in the characteristics of a citizen. The character of a citizen, I'm sorry. That was from 1828. Now, Merriam-Webster shows you how the educational system has worked in this country. Collegiate Dictionary, the 11th edition from 2004, listen to his definition of patriotism: a love or devotion for one's country. That's it. Now, how the definitions have changed. Noah Webster's patriot defends his country with objective actions versus the vague, subjective patriotism of one who only feels and expresses love for one's country. True patriotism is not just an emotional feeling, it's an action. Webster's original definition includes a love for country, service to country, defense of country, protection of the rights of the country, maintenance of the laws and institutions of the country, preservation of religion and morality in public and private life, and puts the needs of the country above the personal or partisan desires, as well as above the favor of foreign nations. We are not obligated to please any foreign nation as the United States of America. God set us up the way he did. He had a purpose for it. And the thing that makes me crazy is we're not doing anything anybody else can't do. If every other nation would just do what we do, there wouldn't be any problem. Pastor Jack, there wouldn't be any problems. You know, nobody's getting on a boat and going from here, from Miami, and going to Cuba. I'm sorry, they're going from Cuba to here. They're doing everything they can to get into this nation. Amen? Boy, you know, if you watch TV at all today, you saw a lot of the coverage of 9/11. And they talked about patriotism, and one of the words that was used was the word hero. And the word hero used here was in the exact sense that it should be. Not like football heroes and sports heroes, and we've watered that definition down so much. But true, patriotic heroes who put their lives on the line, stepped in the middle of harm's way, and paid the ultimate sacrifice. You know, when you watch, if you watch any of the shows at all today, one of the things that just strikes you is the fire department and the police officers running towards those buildings. They ran towards the danger. And I couldn't help but think about David. David ran towards the giant. Man, he had this was a threat that was as great as anything them people could have faced at the time, and he ran towards it. See, that's the same spirit that's on our fire department, first responders of all kinds. Amen? Those are true heroes. Those are patriots. Now, do you have to serve like that to be a patriot? Absolutely not. You can serve your country in a lot of ways by donating blood, by voting. There you go. That's one of the big things right there. You want to be a good patriot? Vote. It's a right that's given to you. Don't let it be taken away from you. Amen? Give you your time or your resources to either veterans, poor, needy people in this nation. There's a lot of things you can do without having to actually go into the military. Amen? But you just can't say, I love this country, and then, you know, one of the observations a few weeks, I remember Pastor and I talking, and I always said, man, the church is going to be full now. Because I heard a lot of people praying to God that day for loved ones, for salvation. Some of the firefighters were just asking God to save them or just crying out. And I remember saying, I remember him and I talking, saying, church is going to be full now, Pastor. Fear of God's in people now. That lasted about 3 seconds. Yeah. Maybe. I'm being charitable. There were flags everywhere 18 years ago. They were everywhere, on bridge overpasses, from buildings, from porches, on dining room tables. Everywhere you look, the United States, our banner was there. Because that stands, that's a beacon of light for the entire world. I mean, it generates such passionate feelings on both sides. It's a beacon of light for people, and it's hated also. And it's hated because we absolutely are the cradle of the gospel. We are. We love Israel. Yeah. Man, that's two of the biggest no-nos in the entire world. Amen? So that's why it's hated so much. But there were flags everywhere. Now we're burning them. Man, you better not do it in front of me. I mean, I'm saved. I don't think I'm that saved yet. I'm serious. Now, you know, this mess is a little different from, you know, than the kidding around and laughing a little bit, because, you know, we're in some serious times, church. We really are. But I said, as you go through this, the Bible, it says, you know, Christianity and the colonial America, it's just what the founding fathers did.
Let's read a couple more scriptures about patriotism before we go too much further. How about John chapter, the Gospel of John, verse 15. I'm sorry, chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. Let's see how good my eyeballs are working during this little electronic stuff now. John 15, I said, verse 12, right? So this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's what the people did at the towers, at the Pentagon. Let's not forget the Pentagon. Right. Let's not forget what took place on Flight 93. There's some patriots there, let me tell you, brother.
Yes, they are.
44 people there. Yeah. 184 people at the Pentagon, over almost 3,000 at the people killed at the towers. And I think they only had identified 15 or 16 people out of all that at the towers. That was all that remains they could ever identify. But to lay down one's life. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, I think. It's 6 and 7. Let's go. We're going to start with 6. Still getting used to this stuff, folks. This is just awesome that I can see this. There's no brown haze. I mean, I thank you, Jesus, the hearing ear and the seeing eye. The Lord's a maker of them both. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's for you and me back in the day, right? For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Said scarcely somebody will die for a good man. Look at the people, what they sacrificed. Let me give you a couple numbers. I wrote them down just so I wouldn't forget them, although I managed to keep them pretty good in my head for the most part. The heroes and the patriots of that day at Ground Zero in New York City at the towers, 343 firemen died and 60 police officers lost their lives also that day. Since then, more people have died from respiratory diseases, cancers, that were direct from that cloud of dust. Now, if you watch any of that today, they released a lot of films today that haven't been shown before. And, you know, people actually jumping out of the windows, just things that just were almost hard to look at. But when the building collapsed, it generated such a wind storm. The firefighters with 60 or 70 pounds of equipment were actually picked up, Jack, and they were thrown into walls. Helmets went flying. That's how much the wind, as the buildings fell, the wind was generated. Cloud, just gray blackness, just enveloped the city. And these are the respiratory problems now that are creating the cancer. And to this day, this nation, our senators, our congresspeople, I don't care what party you belong to, if you belong to a party, shame on you, because both of them groups are a bad bunch of people, will not give any money to the people that need it for their medical needs. They want all these little stupid riders and everything else in these bills, and they can't just get this basic bill done for people who gave their lives, literally gave their lives, for this nation. Mm-hmm. The more I watch it, the angrier I got. It just... And regardless of what you think or thought of George Bush, it's immaterial what you think of him. But what happened to him as President of the United States shouldn't happen to any man.
He takes the office in January, and September this happens. He didn't have 9 months under his belt as President of the United States when this happened. And I'm sorry, folks, if you know anything about history, a lot of this stuff happened because the agencies weren't allowed to talk to each other. They knew who these people were. They knew what they were doing. But nobody was allowed to communicate with each other to let each other know what was going on. This absolutely could have been stopped. Had our people been allowed to talk to each other, that's all. That wall's been taken down now. They can do that. But this is a little lengthy, but do you remember the words of George Bush? Did you hear the words of our president today? I'll tell you what, he point blank said, anybody comes to this nation now wants to start trouble, they're going to see power like they've never seen before, and he wasn't talking about nuclear power. But this is what George Bush said on September 11th, 2001. The pictures of the airplanes flying into the buildings, fires burning, huge structures collapsing, have filled us with disbelief, terrible sadness, and quiet, unyielding anger. Do you know what that feels like? I mean, that's stealing me about this. It really is. These acts of mass murder were intended to frighten our nation into chaos and retreat, but they have failed. Our country is strong. A great people has been moved to defend a great nation. Pearl Harbor, things like the Bataan Death March, what took place at Auschwitz, are things we can never let our young people forget about. Never, ever, ever let them forget about this. You know there are people that think that 9/11 never happened, that the plane never crashed in the Pentagon. They think it was all an inside job. They don't believe anything ever took place at Auschwitz. They don't believe about the Bataan Death March. If you don't know about that, read about that. It'll make you very, very angry what they did to our boys. Very, very angry. A great people has been moved to a great nation. A great people has been moved to defend a great nation. When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, the Emperor of Japan told his officers, "I fear we've wakened a sleeping giant." Yes. Right. And boy, did they ever! Wow. Some of the things I learned today are that they took a lot of the steel and made an entire battleship that's in commission right now. Out of all the steel from the World Trade Center. That's pretty cool. Terrorist attacks can shake the foundation of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. These acts shattered steel, but they cannot dent the steel of the American resolve. Whew. America was targeted for attack because we're the brightest beacon, just what I said about the flag, the brightest beacon for freedom and opportunity in the world, the land of opportunity. And no one will keep that light from shining. Today, our nation saw evil, the very worst of human nature, and we responded with the best of America. With the daring of our rescue workers, with the caring for strangers and neighbors, we came to give blood and to help in any way that they could. This is a day when all Americans, from every walk of life, united in our resolve for justice and peace. America has stood down the enemies before, and we will do it again this time. None of us will ever forget this day. Yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. President George Bush. The man had some resolve. I know there were a lot of people who called him some names and everything, but the acts of terrorism were carried out by extremists, Muslim extremists. Let's not sugarcoat it, okay? Religious people. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. Religious people did this for their God, Allah or whatever his name is, right? Go all the way back in the Bible to the very beginning. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. You know, this is a very sobering word.
Yeah.
It really is. Because I think people have forgotten what has happened. I was talking to one of the young ladies that works for us at the shop, Caitlin. I said, Caitlin, because I had it on TV, I said, you remember all this? She said, no, because I knew she didn't, because she's 19. She said, no, I really don't, because I was a little baby. I said, yes, you were. She said, but they occasionally let us watch some of the films at the school. I said, this is on this TV today. It's going to stay here, and I want you to watch every minute you can when you're not waiting on customers. I said, because this can never, ever happen again. I said, you're a generation now that it's all legend and story. It's all films. We live this. Genesis chapter 4. Let's go back to the beginning of all this stuff, okay? Genesis chapter 4, we're going to start reading, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified since I can change this here pretty quick. We're going to start reading, let's see where I want to start, chapter, at least we're on verse 3. Well, the verse above it brings a little clarity. It says, Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. This is the story of Cain and Abel. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's some parts of this story you never thought about or maybe never saw when you were reading it. Watch this. Now, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel brought of the firstborn of his flocks and of the fat portions. Cain merely brought an offering. Abel brought the best. He brought the first fruits, he brought the fat, the absolute very, very best. Okay? See, when you give, whatever you're giving, I don't care what you're giving, you should give your very, very best, whatever it is. If it's your time, if it's offerings, if it's whatever it is, do the very, very best that you can do with it. And a lot of you know that I give them the pizza away and everything, and we don't give pizza away that's the shells aren't right or they weren't made properly or anything. It's the very best. And I instruct Carl, so you find good shells and you do the absolutely best when we're putting this together. Those of you who have received it, it's not junk. We don't give junk away.
That's right.
God didn't give me junk. Why would I give it away?
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
For Cain and his offering, excuse me, and Abel brought of the first fruits of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had respect and regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no respect or regard. So Cain was extremely angry and indignant. Probably not a good idea to get extremely angry and indignant when God's around, okay? And he looked sad and depressed. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why do you look so sad and depressed and dejected? Now, maybe you never saw this. It says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? You know, the God we serve, he's just awesome. And he's going to leave you a way to repent for whatever you've done. If you've made a mistake, notice he didn't say anything about it. He didn't say, Cain, you're done. He said, no, you're not. He didn't say you were done. He said, if you do well, won't you be accepted? I set before you this day life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life. He gives you... you to choose. See, he didn't leave Cain hanging out there with no alternative.
Right.
All he had to do was repent. And okay, I brought it to the ground. But you know, at least I could have done was brought the first fruits. I didn't even do that. But he never even thought that way. He never thought that way. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you, and you must master it. So we must be able to master sin and evil in our life because God would never tell us to do something if we couldn't do it. See, we will never be able to do what God can, what only God can do. And God's not going to do what we're supposed to be doing. He's leaving that up to us. We've got our part to do in this. He said, you have to master the sin. You're the one that has to take control of this. I mean, people don't want to take control of anything in their life. They just want to drift through life. You know, that's it. And Cain said to his brother, let us go out into the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where's Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, as a matter of fact, you better not turn your back on your brother, because you know all the stories of the Good Samaritan and everything else. I mean, there's enough teachings, right? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And he goes in and says, now you are cursed by reason of the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's shed blood from your hand. Some of you maybe in private conversations have heard me talk about, if you visit Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, the battlefields, the blood cries out from those battlefields. There's so much, that ground is so soaked with blood. And the presence is there, you can't deny it. You absolutely can't deny it. And I felt the same way when I was at the Vietnam Memorial, the Black Wall. If you've never seen that in Washington, D.C., there's no chattering, there's no laughing, it's very, very hush-hush, it's very solemn. And there's a presence there you can't deny. You just can't deny it. I mean, I don't care. You might be spiritually deaf, but you can't deny what's happening there. If you go to the Smithsonian Institute and go see the glasses and the shoes from the people who lost their lives at the hands of Germany and Auschwitz and all the other places, the blood that was shed there. You know how bad that was before they had the ovens, before they were incinerating people? They were mass burying people. I'm not trying to gross you out. This is history. You got to know it, or we're going to repeat it. Because there are people who don't believe this happened. There were mass graves. They buried people with bulldozers. They killed so many people, Christians also, by the way, not just Jews, that it fouled the water. They couldn't drink. The water table was fouled from all the bodies that were decomposing in the ground. That's what made them go to the ovens. And if you don't know that, you have to know that. The blood cries out from that.
Right.
Now, a few weeks ago, Eleanor and I had a chance to go visit our son, Daniel. He's working up in New Jersey, right across the river from New York City. Now, I haven't been, New York City holds nothing for me. I was up there once when I was 21, a long, 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 long time ago. Bert, as I'm sure you was going to, they had just gotten electricity up there. It wasn't Times Square, it was just called Time. That's how long ago it was. But I went up with my dad, in fact, Lynn's dad, Uncle Bob, my Uncle Jack Rossano, Dr. Connie from Pitt, Pitt's physician. We were invited to go hang around New York City with the Los Angeles Rams because my dad and Uncle Bob grew up with Chuck Knox, who was the head coach at the time of the Los Angeles, back when the Los Angeles Rams were the Los Angeles Rams, not back and forth. So we got a chance to pal around New York City. You know, those guys, we went to Little Italy. We did all of that stuff, you know. Said, well, we're going to go down to Times Square. Said, you know, they said if you stand in Times Square for a few minutes, you're going to see somebody you know. I said, that's ridiculous. So we get down to Times Square, and it looks like an ant colony. There's people just running everywhere. And sure enough, I don't know how many people come up to my dad and Uncle Bob. Say, hey, Daddy, hey, Bobby, how you doing? What are you doing in New York? Now, there's a crowd of people that you couldn't even number. So fast forward to now. We go there, and Daniel and Emily's Daniel's intended, I guess I can say that on the tape. Hasn't been official yet, but we think we're leaning that way. They know their way around the city pretty well, and they said, you want to go see the Freedom Tower? I said, yes. So they're driving us into New York City, and don't we go by docked at one of the, right as we're coming in, docked is an aircraft carrier with stealth bombers on them with the engines, and I said, I want to go there. I just wanted to go there because an aircraft carrier is like a city. And then there was a bunch of cruise ships and everything. So Dad said, we can't do everything today. We're going to have to, you know. I said, okay. So we go to the Freedom Tower. First of all, we go to the area outside the Freedom Tower, the two reflecting pools where the two towers stood, collapsed. You should see, if you've never been there, you have to see this. This is a life-changing experience, and I'm not kidding you. The presence of the blood there is so prominent, you can't ignore it. The setting's beautiful. It's a waterfall going into this deep canyon, and surrounded around the waterfall is all this black granite with every name of every person that lost their life there, be it a firefighter, police officer, any first responder of any kind,
All the people that were in the buildings, the names are there, and they're cut deep. They're going to last a very long time. Mm-hmm. But again, this is a place that's very quiet. There's no laughing or chattering. People are standing. And then Eleanor said, look, and she said, look, somebody stuck a flower in somebody's name here, and you know, another flower in some, people whose family members, and you would see the flowers had dotted this place. And flags also. Yes, thank you, dear. Flags also. It's worth going there for that, and probably that only, and possibly a couple of restaurants that you might want to hit. But as you leave the reflecting pools, they're huge. They're huge. I mean, that's the only way you can describe them. It's a magnificent setting. Is it not, Eleanor? I mean, with the waterfalls and everything. It's a photograph does not do it justice. You have to actually see it. So when you leave there, you go through this architectural marvel of a building that these giant white beams, this long, it's not a pyramid exactly shape, but it's kind of a triangle type shape building that has the shops and has the Freedom Tower. It has an experience thing that you can, but it's just amazing to see what man was able to do up there, mm-hmm. how they rebuilt this whole area, right? And then behind that stands the Freedom Tower. Now, you want to have an experience. So we decide, okay, we're the tourists. We did the tour. So we get in, we get our tickets. Okay, bank of elevators. They get us in the elevators, four, five, or six people in an elevator. And when the door closes, a 360-degree screen lights up inside this elevator as you're going up. And as you go up, it doesn't launch you like the U.S. Steel Building used to. That launches you. You have to send down for your stomach. Well, I mean, that thing just fires you up. This is it's a quick ride, but it's relatively smooth. And it shows you New York City from its inception and how the years go by. They're all written on the wall and all the buildings growing and all the everything that took place. And it made New York City the way it is, right up to where when the towers were built. I mean, it's just an amazing 360 thing inside. You're in the elevator. This was cool just being in the elevator. When you get to the top, the elevator doors opened up. And the lady says, okay, everybody get where this. Now, you don't realize it, but this is all screens are around you now. And he turned his screens on, and there are people going by you on bicycles, and you're in downtown New York City, and it's all the hubbub, and people are there, and it's just something. And the lady's narrating all the things that are taking place in New York and how things are growing, what's going on. And when she finishes, it's at about a 5-minute, 6-minute program, I guess, maybe 10 minutes. And when she's done speaking, she says, get ready to see forever. And they break them when the doors open, and it's all glass. Then you can see forever. All the way around that building, it's all glass, and it's unbelievable. The view is unbelievable. People look like ants. Cars look like little toy cars. That's how high up you are. So, of course, you know, me being the technology freak that I am, they handed me an iPad, as they handed everybody, with a strap around your neck. So you can look out this. I'm looking out this window. I'm looking at God's marvel, and they want me to look at it on an iPad that you can zoom in. You can see the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, and you can zoom all the stuff in, and I guess it has this place. But I couldn't stop. Eleanor can tell you, I just couldn't stop looking out those windows and just trying to imagine what the folks went through there. The experiences, and there's no time limit. You can walk around there. We took pictures. And again, the pictures never do it justice. I mean, they're here, but it never, ever does it justice. But when you stand up that building and you realize that one time jet airplanes flew towards buildings that tall, mm-hmm. and people stood there and watched them come at them, and there was nothing they could do about it. And then they built that building, I believe, and I forgot the facts. I think it's 6 or 7 stories higher than the trade towers were, just to stick it in everybody's face. Yeah. Saying, you might have knocked these down, but we're going to build them bigger and better than ever. Mm-hmm. And they did. It is absolutely incredible what man did there. It is. So after that experience, I was absolutely just moved to tears a lot of the times. And there was a place you could actually stand on glass, and Eller wouldn't do this, and look like you're looking down into the buildings, look like you're falling into the buildings. It's a cool thing to do. So they decided, okay, Dad, how about we go down to Times Square? It's Saturday night. Now, on the way there, my future daughter-in-law, Emily, said, you know, you're always watching Fox Business News, and they show you the stock market and everything. She said, yes, so you want to go down in front of the stock exchanges? And I said, well, sure. And we're walking everywhere, right? So I said, yeah, okay, we walk down there. So we walk down there, walk past the six pillars that are in number of man in front of the stock exchange, right? How's that? Six pillars to where the stock market bull is. You know what I'm talking about? If you've seen that? But you know what we saw? We saw people hanging on a thing, kissing it, hugging it. They were worshiping this bull just like they worshiped the golden calf when Moses brought the people out of Israel, out of Egypt. It was unbelievable. I mean, stretched out. Well, I guess since we've been there, somebody took a banjo, literally a banjo, to one of the ears of the bull and tried to, you know, whack them over. That was some crazy. But as you walk through New York City, the filthiness, the people that are living in doorways, and you can't talk to anybody. You can't. It's illegal to feed people up there. You cannot legally buy food and give it to a homeless person. They will put you in jail. Wow. That's a city ordinance. You cannot do that. Wow. But there are, I mean, just human excrement on the ground. Don't step here. Don't walk there. Don't look over here. It was, yeah, some of the smells were just the subway. We did the subway thing. People sleeping. Open cans of beer, unconscious, trains going by that would shake your teeth up, never move. And then you wonder, how is it possible in this nation for this to be happening here? How is it possible for that to happen? How is it possible that our veterans are standing in line for food, our disabled veterans in this nation? If you come in illegally, you can get all the best food, water, shelter,
yes, sir.
Medical attention, the best,
yes, sir.
Stuff you and I can't get.
Right.
So, to see them people hanging out, Eleanor said, look, says, this looks like just what they did in Moses' time, hanging on the golden calf. Said, you're absolutely right. And I mean, these people were serious. I mean, you should have seen this. It was sickening. It was sickening. So, the better part of that town is a carnival. So, we get to Times Square, and there's so many people there, you almost can't bring. It was too many people for me. We're walking, but there are people screaming at you that you're a meat eater, that you're a homophobe, that you love George Bush and how they hate George Bush and how they hate this country. This is going on at a decibel level you almost can't stand. Now, there's some good things going on, some street performers and everything, but the insanity that's going on there. I looked at Eleanor and I said, what do you think Jesus thinks about this? He said, he's really going to have to say something to Sodom and Gomorrah if he lets this go on much longer. And I'm not kidding you.
That's right.
I'm not kidding. That's how bad it is. That's how bad it is. And people just, you know, just like this. And you moved because they moved. You had no choice. I said, New York City really holds no attraction for me. The tower is worth going to see because of the mark that's on this country that'll never be forgotten, much the same as Pearl Harbor and some of the other days that are living in infamy in this country. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, I won't keep you much longer. First John chapter 3, verses 10 and 12. Let's see if we can find this here. See, church, there's an evil in this country. There's an evil in this world that has to be confronted. Okay? And there's... Okay, let's read this. I'll make one more comment. And this is the children of God, and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. More people have lost their lives in this world because of religious conflicts than ever. And that's exactly what Cain and Abel was.
Right.
That's a religious conflict. Okay? Now, the image I had of Cain and Abel. So let's go walk in the field. So they had to be walking side by side, shoulder to shoulder, closer talking. Much the same as on 9/11 when our Congress and House of Representatives stood shoulder to shoulder and side by side for a minute and prayed. And then Cain rose up and killed Abel. Now we've got people that are rising up and trying to kill the conservative people in this country. It's exactly the same parallel. It's only two kingdoms. One is God, one's of Satan. That's just how it is. And it has to be confronted. It can't have dominion over you. Again, you see what's going on in New York City, and you know, Dean, you know, he want to witness his people that are being prisoners, Bobby with his outreach ministry. You want to stop and talk to somebody, and my son Dan's going, Dad, you can't, because these people are going to attach themselves to you. Literally, they're going to grab you. But we're walking through the crowd, and some superhero, what a disgusting term, jumps in front of Eleanor and points at her. Dale said, just keep walking, because if you stop and take a picture with them, now you have to buy the picture from them, and they'll harass you until you do. There's a police station right there in Times Square. Boy, the guy screaming at me for eating meat was just, not like I had a pork chop bone in my mouth walking down the street. I don't even know how he knew. Well, I guess we're kind of winding things down. Yeah, let's wind it down. Write down Proverbs chapter 17, verse 5. And one of the things about 9/11, if you remember, there were people that were rejoicing over those towers coming down. You know that, right? People gave candy. They threw parties. They weren't Christian people. The Bible's real clear about not rejoicing when something happens, because we're considered their enemy. It says, if you rejoice over your enemy and something happens to them, watch, because God just might get a little upset with you and turn his wrath on to you. Well, that's exactly what's happened. God has turned his wrath on the people that laughed at this. That's happened. And if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, you know, everybody knows that. That's like reading today's papers. Amen? I know everybody in this room is patriotic. They love this nation. The things, if you get a chance to go to New York City, go to the Freedom Tower. I think that's worth the trip. But after that, I can't endorse too much. Sorry. One good thing is three gas stations in New York City proper, only three. You have to buy gasoline from Jersey when you're coming in, and it's $8 a gallon at the three stations. That would curb you from buying gasoline. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that we live in the greatest country in the entire world, and that we can say, Father, out loud, that we love the nation of Israel. Those are the other protests that were up there in the Times Square protesting against Israel. I was just waiting for the ground to open. But, Father, we don't ever take these freedoms for granted. For all the people that gave their lives in defending this nation, all the first responders, everybody that's involved, Father, in positions of authority right now, we lift them up to you in prayer. Those that have lost loved ones in the wars, Father, we ask you to comfort them. And Father, we want righteous men and women to be in positions of authority in this nation. That's our prayer this night. And we just ask that your hand be upon our entire government, from the President of the United States right down to the state and local governments, police officers, firefighters, and EMTs, those that are fighting terrorism, those that are defending our borders, and send laborers across the path of those that don't know you, and remove the wicked ones from their office this day, Father. We want to live at peace. So, Father, as we travel our separate ways, we ask for the angels to be encamped about us. Make our path straight and safe until we come back here on Sunday. In Jesus' name.